happy Memorial Day, Justin Matkovich. Let me read you a text message that I received. So I went and I hung out with one of my old college roommates. We played Settlers of Catan together, got to meet his new girlfriend. Wonderful time was had by all. But I received a text. He said this. This was on Tuesday. You're on drink duty. Sparkling waters or teas or lemonade. Up to you. Just not the soda like last time. Ha ha. And I said, sick. You got it. Now, I actually, eagle-eyed listeners will... If you got a good memory, I did actually talk about this on our podcast. Do when you, Justin, remember what I brought to a 4th of July party last year?
Was it the Jarritos or no?
Yes, it was the Jarritos. I brought a Jarritos party pack combo pack.
And you were
like
told
a bunch of
not to
ones.
Bring it again?
Yes, because I fucking like put this out of my mind because it was so awkward. I brought that thinking I was going to be king shit of fuck mountain. That yeah. I was going to be big dog in the house. Like, oh my gosh, Peter brought the Jarritos. The party's on.
Yeah.
Nobody touched him. Nobody touched him, which is
fine.
So sad. Whatever. Well. But like, for me to like read that it was like so bad that he was like, I request that you don't bring that again.
That goes a different level. Like that. That's close to being rude.
No, I'll say this. I appreciate. I think it could be read as rude. But I will say I appreciate getting direction of like someone saying like, actually, because he wasn't mean about it. He was just like, yeah. You know, lemonade, tea, whatever you want to do. Just please don't bring that again. I completely am fine with getting that direction, especially if he noticed, hey, this was not a hit. You know what I mean? Like that's totally, okay. Totally fine.
What
but
if
I
was
just insane? Yeah, what's that?
You should have like made people like it. You know what I mean? Like you bring it, you drink it, it becomes like a party. You're throwing Jarritos everywhere at everyone. You know, you bring in a camera crew. They could be shooting
sure.
a commercial.
With Moss.
It could be a fake. It could be a fake camera crew. We don't need it to be a real one. Maybe it was because of the occasion. Who would have thought Jarritos on 4th of July? Maybe they were a little offended with the choice and didn't want to say anything,
oh, sure,
even though
sure.
they thought it was a good drink.
Yeah, maybe it's like a hey, you know, usually this is fine, but like this is kind of an all American day.
Not today,
this is
obviously an American day.
Right? Yeah, I don't know, man. It boggled my little mind. I was like, surely you are misremembering. Surely you're not remembering that everyone loved it. Didn't everyone love it? No, the answer was no. What?
I mean, would you rather be like the person who like brings something one time and it's not like your favorite thing, but like you brought it one time and then you. They're like, you got to bring that again. And that becomes your dish that you keep having to bring over and over and over again, no matter what. Would you rather be the dish guy? Even if it's not the dish you like, it was just a one-time thing you made.
Yeah, 100%. Because then it's just like, it's very easy for me to know what I
need
to
do. You
know
what you have to do? Okay.
100%. Yeah. And yeah. Like I said, like he wasn't rude. I don't think he was rude about it. I think he was just direct, you know, and like, that's okay. I appreciate directness because it means that like, I know exactly what I'm supposed to do and what's being expected. But
you should be the Jell-O guy. Bring Jell-O back.
Bring Jell-O back? My aunt, when I was a kid, made, it was like a, like those like 7-layer Jell-Os. Do you know what I mean?
Ooh.
It was like all the different flavors. No, no.
Yeah.
And no. And it was like, it had like cottage cheese in it.
Okay.
And it was very wet. And it was not a hit. One liked it. But it was kind of one of those things where it was like, but you know, it's going to be there because that's the thing that she makes. And it's like,
so,
right,
but
have we considered that she makes something else?
It's like an execution thing, right? She's just bad at it.
Yeah, I just don't put the cottage cheese in there, brother. Like, you know,
okay.
Like I it seems misguided to me.
I feel like we've talked about this before, but do you know how to make white Jell-O?
No.
Melted vanilla ice cream in a lemon Ooh. Jell-O.
Oh, instead of water?
Yeah.
That sounds good as fuck.
And what it does is, like, because... We used to make that for 4th of July when we would have like a giant American flag pan that we'd put
sure,
the Jell-O
sure.
in to have like a layered Jell-O. So you'd have the three different layers of it, the red, white, and the blue. It was
oh,
pretty
sure.
good.
But the white was the, that's,
yeah.
I would absolutely mess with that. As a kid, my mom would make Jell-O, but instead of water, she would put Sprite in it.
Okay.
So
I see that.
So it had this extra sweetness to it, but then also it had, like a carbonation to it. It made the texture kind of odd. It was good. I really liked it. It's Hitbox. Be a polite one today, Justin. It is Hitbox. A little more pensive today. It's Memorial Day, you know what I mean, in honor of, I don't really know what is it a Veterans Day, but it's like we don't have, I don't know, doesn't matter. My name is Peter Hunspatek. Joining me as always is my wonderful friend and co-host Justin Magvich. Justin, how are you? You are so close to summer break.
I can taste it. I basically have just been spending my last day like just grading, making sure all my grading is done. My last couple days, like some people celebrate the holiday with family. I celebrated it on a treadmill, finishing grading my essays. And I got a good hour or so per, class set that I was going through. So I got a lot of steps in today.
I'm very happy for you. I'm sorry to hear that you did not get to celebrate with friends and or family. I'll say this, I was a little disappointed at the function I was at today. Just burgers, no dogs. I was hoping to pad out my number
to get
a
some
bit.
More. Yeah. No, that makes sense.
I was hoping to get pushed over. I'm at 97. I was hoping to get 100. You are at 159, which is just astounding.
You know what? It's to a point where I sometimes feel like I'm scheduling my day around hot dog eating.
Yeah, I have noticed that. I'm like, I feel like if I eat something else for lunch, it was a waste.
Yeah, like I literally. And I was having this issue because I had a lot of leftovers in my fridge this weekend. And I was like, I got to eat this food. Otherwise, it's going to go bad.
Yeah.
Or I have the hot dogs. So I ate the hot dogs. On Friday, I grilled a whole bunch. I meal prepped hot dogs and grilled a whole bunch of them. Ate one right off the grill.
Dude, I was actually thinking about this because we have a grill on our porch that we don't use that much because it's been cold, you know, but like we are actually planning on grilling this week or next week rather. I was thinking about like, yo, what if I cranked out the grill and grilled my dogs instead of cooking them in my hot dog toaster? And I was like, that I think is going to be more trouble than it's worth in terms of like just for doing it for lunch, just like a quick kind of thing, because I'm like, well, you know, like I gotta go outside, whatever.
Yeah, but I it was a thing because every time you take the grill out, it is kind of like the pain in the butt to like have to clean it.
And I'm also like petrified of like running out of propane at the time when I need propane. You know what I mean? Like, please don't do this to me. So, there you go. That's it. It's a quick update on our hot dog situation, Justin. Here's a preview of what's coming up in the news. PlayStation Stars is ending. I know we're all, you know, we had to dry our tears and pull ourselves together to have this conversation today. I know we've been just sobbing nonstop. Housemarque Games has made a statement saying that it isn't making multiplayer games anytime soon. And no one currently knows what PlayStation is doing with its tariffs. We're going to talk about those headlines and more. But before we do, I would like to tell our listeners that they can join our Discord server. The link to that is in the description of this episode. They can also support us on Patreon at patreon.com/hitboxpod by becoming a $1 podcast producer or a $3 deluxe podcast producer like Jay Knoll, GKS, and Josh Durham. Every single week, our deluxe podcast producers get an additional 30-minute bonus episode. Today, we were talking about The Last of Us TV show, and now, hold on a second. I know we've been talking about it a lot. We've been doing our, you know, individual episode reviews and spoiler casts and stuff like that. I made a video about The Last of Us TV show. Justin, I know you wanted to chat about it, first of all. And then second of all, we're going to just talk about, like, well, what would we have done to adapt this instead? I'm interested to hear your thoughts on that. So if you're interested in that, again, patreon.com/hitboxpod. If you can't support us there, that's fine. You can follow us on Blue Sky at hitboxpod. I appreciate that website a lot more. But hey, Blue Sky, let me schedule all my tweets. I don't like that. I have to, like, be on at noon, you know, whatever. If not, you can also rate this episode in your podcast player of choice. Justin, will you join me in the Metacritic Roundup?
Let's do it.
Metacritic. There's nothing. Cut the song. There's nothing.
No. Oh, nothing. Okay.
Nothing. There's nothing in the Metacritic Roundup this week. Next week, I think we're going to have Elden Ring, Night Rain, which is exciting, among other things. So look forward to that. I certainly am going to be very interested in those reviews, not only because it's not my fantasy team, but because I've got a FromSoft itch that needs scratching, Justin. I finished Bloodborne. And by finished, yeah. I mean, I got the platinum for Bloodborne.
Yeah, you sent me that photo and it was, I felt happy for you, but also, are you okay?
Sometimes we hurt ourselves, you know what I mean? Yeah. And yeah. I think it's worth examining when that happens. Cause what I sent you, like, the hour count, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So, it was your playthrough next to your platinum playthrough.
Yes. So, my previous playthrough, I beat the game in 15 hours and 58 minutes. And then this time I beat it in 51 hours and 53 minutes. And I'm not kidding. I think it was 15, 16 or 17 hours of that was my original playthrough. And then the rest was the Chalice Dungeon stuff. Holy shit. I cannot recommend anyone do that. Don't do that. It's not fun. It's really I really didn't have a good time doing the platinum stuff. And it was just the one trophy at the end that I needed. Because it was just tedious, right? But as I talked about last week, the Chalice Dungeons are basically like, kind of like randomly generated, like seeded, like dungeons that have the same five enemy types over and over and over again. And some of the chalice dungeons have like quirks to them. Like some of them you can't summon people to come help you, or some of them you have half health, which I beat Bloodborne regular style without summoning anyone, because I was like, I want to challenge myself, you know what I mean, and do this. And then when I got to the chalice dungeons, I was like, I'm not gonna summon anyone. And then I got to the point where I was like, I am gonna summon people. But then a lot of the bosses I struggled the most with, I was doing worse when I had the summons, because it made the boss more difficult to like bait into like using certain moves and stuff like that. So I ended up beating most of them without any help, because it was like, I can't have the extra hands in here. Like, I need it to be just me.
So two questions. First question.
Yeah.
Were there challenging bosses in that dungeon?
Oh yeah.
Okay, so they truly got to a point where they were like hard.
Yes, because okay, so there are some like reskinned bosses. So like, there's a boss in the main game called like Amygdala, who's like a giant spider Cthulhu thing. Amygdala, super big pushover in the main game, and then in the Chalice Dungeon, it's like way the fuck harder. But then there's also like unique, like not just reskinned ones. Like the final boss, is named like Queen Yharnam, which. If you remember, do you remember in Bloodborne when you go to fight the Wet Nurse, which is like the final boss before you go to the final boss? You climb up this big, big tower, and then at the top, there's like the baby carriage crying, and you fight the big, like hooded black thing. In the area right before then, there's a woman in white, and she's got blood all over her front, and she's like praying, looking up. So that is Queen Yharnam.
Then you fight her in the challenge.
You fight her. She's the final boss. Yes.
Lore-wise, why is she there?
So she gave birth. I did watch a bunch of lore stuff because I was like, am I about to make a video about Bloodborne? I was like, am I about to make a video about Bloodborne? I am entertaining the idea.
Oh,
Is
it going to be about remaking Bloodborne? How it needs to happen today?
No, it would be about motherhood and uteruses and menstrual blood. Because I think that there is a lot of interesting stuff about menstrual blood in Bloodborne that isn't explicit, but it's all implied. And I'm like, I feel like I haven't seen anyone talk about this. There's one video that I watched where someone was like, I sort of noticed this thing. And I was like, no, man, that is interesting.
That video would be a mouthful of umbilical cord.
Isn't that odd? Isn't that weird that you do that? That you eat the umbilical cord? You're like, why did I do that? Right?
Yeah.
But it's interesting. Most of the women in the game end up pregnant or are mothers in some regard. And I was like, that's interesting. And there's a lot about like forced birth and things like that. But so she, Queen Yharnam, part of the lore of the Great Ones, who are like the big, what's the word?
Floating invisible things, or the gods?
Well, that's like the gods, basically. They're like eldritch gods and stuff like that. All of their, when they have children, they are stripped from them, so they can never have children. Or if they do, they cannot raise them, so they cannot be mothers or fathers or anything like that. And so she, it seems, had a forced pregnancy. There's another word for that, but don't want to be demonetized, you know, and all that. She had a forced pregnancy with one of the Great Ones. And based on what she looks like, which she's got like this big like gash in her stomach, it seems as if the pregnancy was either terminated or taken from her. And that maybe that is Margot, the the baby who you go up and you don't ever see, but that baby is
which makes sense why she's out crying and stuff like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's some nasty stuff going on in that game. I liked it though.
You should
10 out of 10, you know, loved it. Should never platinum it. Holy shit, don't do that.
But again, hard boss fight at the end there with the queen.
So she's a very difficult fight. I watched some videos about like trying to get the patterns down because I was struggling. And on my second, because I did the first run with it and I was just like, I'm just going to do a crash course of like trying to figure out what to do. And I was like, there were some mechanics in it that I was like, I literally don't understand what to do about this. So I like watched some videos and I was like, okay, cool. And so I did one practice run and I was like, okay, you know what? The next time is going to be the run where I get her. I was like, I'm starting to get the patterns of this down, but I'm just like not perfect yet. So I'm going to practice whatever. And then the next run is the run where I get her. Well, when she had about, I don't know, a quarter to like a fifth of her health left, I knocked her into the wall and she fell into the wall. And then I was like, okay, so is this, what do I do? Like she just like fully disappeared. And then I ran around the boss arena for, I don't know, 20 seconds. And then it just goes nightmare vanquished or whatever. And then I just beat the boss. So I'll say this, I was going to get it eventually, but for whatever reason, I knocked her out of the arena and I guess she just fell to her death or something like that. And so I did win. And so
your next platinum, instead of the platinum, now you're going to try to replicate that.
I did. I saved it. I saved the video because it was like, no one will ever believe.
That's your, also your, do you have the platinum, like the trophy video videos on? Yeah.
I don't know how long they save, but if it's like 30 seconds, then you totally will see that.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Yeah. It was a little anticlimactic because then you go off and you do the fight with the wheelchair guy who stands up. He's got the big scythe. And then if you eat the umbilical cords, you get the secret final boss. And by that time, I was like level 180 or something like that. So it was a pretty easy fight. But It was cool to have finished, and then I immediately got the platinum.
The guy in the wheelchair gets up, you eat the umbilical cords, and have the secret boss fight is the thing you just said.
It's a good video game, isn't it? It's a good video game.
I agree. I like it a lot.
I think what I appreciate about it, and I think I said this last week, is like I think the game is good, but the vibes are immaculate.
I agree. Yeah.
And so, like, even the whole umbilical cord thing, like, I remember playing it the first time and being like, what the fuck was all that about? You know what I mean? Like that was weird. Why did I have umbilical cords as an item, as a usable item that you eat? And I'm not still entirely sure why, other than the umbilical cords of the great ones, like,
have special powers that once you eat them or something like that. I got deep in all this shit. It was, I think, very fascinating story.
It's really cool.
But
it's also kind of nasty.
And don't platinum that shit. And don't platinum
that shit. No. Yeah, I thought it was going to be a much simpler thing. And then I kind of like put the time into it. And I was like, oh, no. I don't remember who I was talking to. Maybe it was Elena. Maybe it was someone else. But they were like, why don't you just walk away? And I was like,
You're that close.
Yeah. And then I'll always look back on it. And if I ever replay this game or look at it or whatever, I'll be like,
it was like when I was on dog number 8 of the 9-inning challenge. And I was like, I don't think I'm going to get here again. I'm never going to do this again. But
yes. So that's Bloodborne. Justin, you've been playing Clair Obscur? Question mark?
Yeah. So last week we ended off in a place where I wasn't like sure if like I liked it. I didn't like it, but I was going to keep playing it. I think I do like it a lot. And I think part of the reason I like it a lot is because it, like, while it is like a real time, not real time, turn based RPG, right? It is not. It is very not. And like,
it's a lot of active stuff in there.
And the active stuff in there is not just like a side thing that you do to get more damage. It's literally the way you have to play the game. If you don't know how to dodge, you cannot play that game.
I think it's really interesting that people compare it to like Paper Mario and like the Mario and Luigi games, because like I understand the comparison in saying like, oh, it's like active time but turn-based, or like turn-based with like the active time elements. But I'm like, those games you can get through if you don't dodge, if you don't do the whatever. This game you can't. You just fully can't.
No, you have to. And like there's even this part where I was just like kind of exploring one of the worlds, and I found this like little like side boss, and the thing would like kill me in two hits, like basically, and it would kill you. And I was like,
was it the pink thing?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I don't need to beat this thing. but it had like a big horn or something like that. It was pretty like early-ish okay. in the game. But I was like, it could kill me in like one or two hits. I don't need to beat this thing. I already got the special item behind it and I could just leave. But I'm like, but I can beat it. And yeah. like, if you get that timing down and you go through it without getting hit, and then you are able to beat it because not because you just like out like strategied it or whatever, your skill is what brought it through. I think that's truly what makes it different than just your average turn-based strategy game, is that it truly is about your skill, not just in like making the plan. It's about like, can you parry and also deal enough damage, not only with your parry, but with your actual moves to like make the battle go quicker. So I am kind of enjoying that give and take in a way. And again, it's very unlike any strategy game or any RTS, not RTS, I keep saying that, any turn-based game I've ever played. And it's very different from any kind of action parry-based game that I've ever played. And I like it, and it's keeping me engaged enough. I still think the same thing we said is true, and I'm going to keep saying this till I beat it. The game, too, is going to be amazing in this series. Like, it still is just a little bit sloppy. Like, some of its platforming stuff kind of sucks. The animations are a little, like, stiff at times. Like, it just is missing that, like, polish of a perfect game. But I definitely think, as of now, it's on track to be one of my top games of this year so far.
That's the thing. It feels scrappy to me, where I'm like, there are things about it. There's, like, rough edges for sure. But, like, at the end of the day, like, I like it.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
Like, it's hard for me to really say that I don't like it, because I do. And all of those problems are, like, in my opinion, like, little annoyances that, like, you know, that can be fixed. Not fixed, but like, it's like, it doesn't take over. It doesn't detract.
Yeah, it's, like, nothing that takes away from the game, but stuff that could make the game, like, one of the top games of all time if it was fixed.
Yeah, 100%.
But
Justin, I finished Bloodborne.
Okay, then nothing else to do. You just gave up on video games. There's nothing better than beating
Bloodborne. To a GameStop.
Oh, shit, okay.
Bought myself a copy of Death Stranding.
Death Stranding?
No, they tried to get me to buy one. Bought myself a used copy of Death Stranding, the PlayStation 4. Because I was like, oh, this is $13? Yeah, I'll take that, thanks. And then I just got the PS5 upgrade because I'm digitally. I was like, this is great, awesome. Don't have to deal with you know, paying $40 for a game that I can get for $20, really.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I started Death Stranding. I've been playing it for... It's hard to know what really counts as, like, if I finished the tutorial.
Okay.
Because, I mean, it's long, right? Like, it has a long-winded introduction. And also, it feels like they are just constantly just, like, adding new systems and stuff like that. Can you remind me what you think of Death Stranding?
I love it. It's, like, one of those games that, like, for whatever reason, the game itself is at its best when you just have to get across the map. Mm-hmm. And you're just walking, balancing your shit, and, like, micromanaging stuff. It's oddly relaxing, even though some of the aspects of the game are like stressful and whatever, but I enjoyed the hell out of it. It was very cathartic to play, very scratched like this part of my brain that I thought I would have been bored by the game, but it just kept making me move forward and go ahead.
Yeah. So I like it. Let me just say this. I like it a lot. I'll also say that, like, a lot of people, like, have said, like, oh, but its story is so confusing. You're not going to know what's going on. And, like, it's not that I don't think it is confusing, because of course it is. But I am, like, a big part of me is, like, yeah, it's just, like, very normal science fiction. You know what I mean? Where, like, a lot of, like, yes, there are some, it's weird, and there are, like, odd concepts and whatever. I just love how close Archie is to the camera. Hello, yeah, little
he's
dog.
He's very confused right now. I don't know what he wants to do. Sorry.
No, it's, I'm, like, literally, I'm so happy that he's right there. But you know what I mean? I don't think that it is, like, outside the realm of, like, other weird science fiction, you know, when it comes to that. The thing that I find most confusing about the game is the game. Like, the story, whatever. I'm on board. Like, I got 99% of it. There's one question I have for you that I am curious what you'll say, but, like, I get most of that. It's the, like, systems on systems on systems on systems that are just, like, loaded on top of you that I kind of, do you ever get, like, overload in terms of, like, how many things a game can teach you at once without actually, like, running you through why it matters?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That's kind of where I am with that, where, like, there are a lot of things where I'm like, I don't know what this does. Like, for example, like the water, like you're supposed to, like, drink from your canteen. Uh-huh. Why?
I don't know.
Okay.
like it's one of those things, like it's the game itself is like, you can do it a multitude of different ways, right? Mm-hmm. You can create roads, vehicles. You can have special, like, things to zip around the map in different locations in different ways, different upgrades that have, like, things follow you. You have a surf hoverboard to go through stuff. You can do all that. But, like, at the end of the day, you can do it all by walking from point A to point B with a big-ass backpack on. And, like, I think it is easy to get overwhelmed, and I think that's one of the fun things about it is that, like, you can get, like, caught up in the minutiae of micromanaging every little aspect of stuff, but at the same time, all you have to really worry about is going to that next location, and it's always just a waypoint down the way. And, like, obviously that seems like simplification of what it actually is, but, like, it truly is. Like, you're just walking to the next thing. I don't remember what the water stuff does, to be honest, the canteen stuff. I mean, I played this 5 years ago at this point. But like, it's like one of those things that, like, what I got out of it is, I don't know if that's the way it was meant to be played, but you can play it that way. And that's just literally just walking from one place to the next.
Can I ask another question? And again, if you don't have the answer to this because you played it so long ago, like, that's fine. I keep falling over, but like not falling over, but like he will stop and kind of like breathe heavy and put his hands on his like knees, and he'll take a second, and I don't know why he's doing that.
Is it like an exhaustion thing? Isn't there like some kind of like,
I don't know. I mean, like I look at, like, you know, I'm not like hurt or anything, like I'm like looking at my metrics and whatever, I'm like, I don't, like, I thought it was a story thing and it wasn't. It's like, oh, okay.
Okay. Well, you should drink from the canteen, resting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'll make sure to do that then.
So I guess you got to drink from the, do you like drink the energy drinks when you're in the little
Monster Energy? I was disappointed because it's not Monster, because I'm playing the director's cut version.
Oh, so they don't even have it at the beginning of it?
Mm-mm. It's
the beer, the,
it's like whatever, beer, like fake one it is.
Yeah. That's disappointing because, okay, so drinking that can of Monster just made me, whoa.
It's one of those details that, like, it's like, oh, I wish, it's a silly detail. And remember when, like, in Alan Wake, the original one, he just has Energizer batteries?
Yeah.
I like those, like, weird little bits of whatever. So here's a question for you. So his name is Sam Porter.
Mm-hmm. Bridges.
But he is a porter.
Right. Sam Porter, like, Bridges, yeah.
Well, but it starts and his name is Sam Porter. And then it turns out his name is actually Sam Strand, because his mom's name is Strand and his sister's name is Strand.
Uh-huh.
But then Bridges is the company that is, like, I don't understand why he's working for this company now. Basically, is my question, is like, what, like, he was like not on board with helping his mom because he, like, is kind of estranged from her. He's kind of not on board with helping his sister, but now his sister needs rescuing, so he's like, okay, I'll go and help you. But, like, I don't understand why he is part of the company. Like, he seemed like he didn't really care about the company. I just didn't understand, like, at what point he was, like, so committed to the company where he'd change his last name.
I don't know the answer to that question, but my question is, why would you not change your name to the company you work for?
Yeah, okay. Perfect.
I mean, yeah.
I am interested in this game. I am continuing to play it. I have heard advice from people about, like, get out of, like, should I be, like, if I'm, like, mainlining the story, is that the way to go?
I think to a certain point, there's, like, I believe there's a map jump later. Once you get to that map jump, eventually you start unlocking things that make traversal a little bit easier if you're going through the effort to build all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So I think the longer you wait in the beginning of the game, the more you're just going to be walking to places instead of, like, building other creative things to make,
like,
it easier.
Like zip lines and stuff like that I've seen?
Yeah.
Okay, or I don't know if that's what it is, but, like, okay.
Yeah. You just have more options to do stuff as you keep going.
But you would recommend to, like, don't get caught up doing whatever tiny little side quests?
I mean, you can, but, like, are you planning on platinuming it?
No.
Then I would, it's one of those games that you can, like, just mainline the story and still get enough out of it, and, like, you'll be fine doing that.
Okay, because that's the thing, is I kind of just want to play it to just get the story and you know, experience that, whatever, and then just sort of move on.
Yeah.
For the second one. But okay. Cause, so, yeah, cause are you, yeah, go ahead.
Are you excited now for the sequel?
Yeah, I mean, I'm enjoying it. I think it's interesting. I just have gotten overwhelmed by a lot of mechanics, and the game commits the cardinal sin of video games in that, like, it just puts text on the screen, and then while I'm in the middle of an encounter with a thing, it gives me text on screen of how to deal with that thing. And I'm like, could you not pause this? And so I can read this, and then I can then use that as actionable advice. So, like, yeah. I missed something about the BTs. I just don't, like, I don't have the full picture of, like, what I'm supposed to do about the BTs. And, like, they kind of kick my ass because I just walk into them because they're invisible. I don't know what to do about that.
Doesn't the baby scream at you?
Well, but then the baby's, like, crying all the time, and I don't know what to do about that or, like,
what
that
means.
You
gotta rock the baby. Rock-a-bye, baby.
Yeah, but so what does the baby health do?
Well, the baby is basically what detects BTs. That's its whole job. It's there to, like, find out.
Because it's doing the blinker thing, right?
Yeah. So it senses them.
Okay.
And then you have to make sure it's, like, in a good position and happy and stuff. Like, I'm just going to tell you, like, the story gets weirder, if that makes sense.
I don't mind that.
Obviously, it's, like, science fiction. I understand it. Like, I don't think it's, like, necessarily, like, impossible to understand, but, like,
yeah,
it gets weirder when you just have to, like, accept things in the world and just go with it, and then you'll be fine.
I'll also say this, because I don't want anyone calling me a hypocrite. One of my big criticisms of The Last of Us show is that you have and the people will call me a hypocrite for saying that I like this, but I don't like it in that, where, like, in the Last of Us show, you have people, this always feels weird, giving expository dialogue explaining something that they both already know. Do you know what I mean? Like, that was one of my criticisms of the show, and in this game is the fucking cardinal sin of that. Like, they're explaining history to Sam, and he's like, I've been here. Like, he's, you know what I mean? They're like, I don't care in this, because I'm like, I need to know. I need to know. But
I would say that is much more in line with how Kojima writes. Like, I don't
the
necessarily
whole thing
think...
feels like a fever dream. It's not trying to be like a realistic whatever, whereas, like, The Last of Us is. But so that's why I'm, like, more willing to forgive it, because one, it's the concepts are weirder, and two, the whole thing feels odd. It feels like, and I'm curious, like, I am so mad, not so mad, but, like, do you ever, like, sit back and kind of, like, kick yourself, like, oh, I should have asked this person this thing? I was gonna ask, last year at Summer Game Fest, I had the opportunity to spend some time with Sam Lake from Remedy, and I was talking to him about musical theater, because I was very curious about his background in musical theater, which was a fun conversation, whatever. But I wanted to ask him, like, do you write your scripts in, I think he's Finnish or wherever he's from. Do you write your script in English and then they're done? Or do you write them in your native language and then you translate them? Because I think that's really interesting, because I want, like, to my understanding, Kojima does not speak English. Or if he does, it's not like...
It's not as like main.
He's not like fluent. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, he for sure is writing in Japanese, right? And then you translate and you localize and all that sort of stuff. But I'm curious if, like, there are cultural concepts or things like that that are just a little bit more, like, that make something like Death Stranding a little bit harder to just, like, instantly, like, accept and understand in different cultures. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I just did a quick Google search here, and a couple things say that Sam Lake writes in English.
Okay, gotcha.
But on top of that, maybe what he does to make his stuff seem odd is he writes in English, translates to Finnish.
Finish, and then it has
come back to English, so then no one quite knows, like, what it is, you know, like, that's why it has that, like, slightly offsetting, like, off, like, unsettling feeling when you're, like, playing those games.
Where, because you're like, it's like no one talks like this, but also like, it's just, like, weird, or like, or like with Japanese, it is very common, like, language is, like, so like, that language is so, like, reliant on, like, context and stuff, and so there is a lot of, like, restating what we both already know, because it's, like, just how their language works or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, for example, like, in Japanese, I wouldn't say, how are you doing, Justin? I would say, speaking of Justin, how's he doing? And you would, like, as you know what I mean? And,
like, honestly, that makes sense. Now that you say that, it definitely makes sense.
which is just like, that's a very weird way to have that conversation, but like at the end of the day, like, oh, okay, that's why like some of this might feel this way. It doesn't matter. I'm liking it. I am interested. I'm excited in the second one. I'm hoping to, like, I'm trying to kind of marathon this, you know what I mean? Just like
tighten those backpacks, bring that canteen, start sipping that juice.
Can I say though, two things. Thing one is this game is insane to me that this was made before COVID because it feels like a game about COVID.
I know. First isn't of all, it like kind of nuts?
Insane how much it's like the, it could, if this were made after COVID, you'd be like, this is too on the nose. You know what I mean? You'd be like, no, it's so clear and obvious what this is about. So that's very odd.
Do you remember how, like, it came out, like, I think a couple years after the studio opened. Kojima probably knew COVID was going to happen and was like, we got to fucking get this out today.
Who cares?
Yeah, we don't need, no, fuck the animations. We'll just have weird, like little holograms of people. Just fuck it. Let's do it.
But I love the way this game, like, obviously, there is combat in the game, and I've gotten to some of that. I haven't gotten, like, guns or anything like that. They keep mentioning, like, you'll be able to 3D print guns. And I'm like, okay, I'm a mailman. Like, but what I do like about this game, though, is that, like, it's just nice to play a game that isn't strictly about killing people. And I know I'll get there. I've seen, like, you know, I've seen the trailers. I know that you eventually start picking up guns and stuff. But the fact that I've played this for, like, what, like, 5 hours or so, and, like, I think I've knocked out three guys. I didn't even kill them. You know what I mean? And they were like, they stole stuff. So I'm like, oh, let me grab this back. But you know what I mean? Like that, like, I think a lot of people are kind of like dismissive of this game a little bit because it is so like, you're just walking places, but like you have to like, you're paying attention to the environment and you're like really looking at like you're like, it's about like charting a path. And I think that's cool. You know?
Do you know that if you shoot people and kill people, you basically like open up this like world ending portal?
Well, I knew that. I figured that like if you kill people, that's bad because of the explosions that happen from the bodies.
Yeah. So
genuine like, sneeze on the show.
Whoa, that's a first. We've never sneezed once on the show before.
Never.
Cut to the sneeze montage.
If we had like an editor, it would be like, I need you to find every sneeze.
And they would just be like,
we don't sneeze that much. So I think
and we mute it like 75%.
We're usually
of the time.
Pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry for calling it out. That was rude of me, I suppose.
No, never.
Yeah. So Death Stranding, I'm looking forward to playing the second one. Because even, I think you even recommended this to me, maybe on the show where you're like, if you're going to play it, like play the first 10 hours. And then if you want to play the second one, just watch the story summary and
you'll
then
get it.
You'll get it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it sounds like Death Stranding 2 is like a direct follow up to this. And apparently I'll say this. I don't think this game is like so crazy complicated so far in terms of like other sci-fi I've seen. That said, yeah, pay attention. Come on now. You gotta be on this. I picked up my phone and I was like, his sister's alive? I was like, you know what I mean? Like, there was like...
It gets weirder from there, my friend.
Yeah. It's good, though. I'll say they don't fucking stop giving him a call. they call him every 10 seconds. It's like, hey, Sam, I got something for you. Like, hey, hush. I was enjoying my life of solitude. Yeah, so there you go. That is Death Stranding. Justin, have you been playing more Oblivion?
Yeah. I mean, it's just kind of like my go-to-bed game. I kind of played a little bit. I still think the game itself is, it's a good game. It's a fine game. It's very empty, though, in a way that's not quite charming. And yeah. I feel like the map is just not interesting.
There is, in my opinion, nothing interesting between destinations.
Right. And like, you can also like fast travel to cities before you go to them, like at the very beginning.
I forgot that you could do that.
It's so stupid.
Yes, 100%. Yes.
Because like, I think one of my favorite things about Morrowind is that I think the Oblivion map is probably bigger than the Morrowind map. But like, there is so much more like unique landscapes and details and places just available in that map. Whereas this one, it's like literally just boring from point A to point B.
I also think it's interesting, and I could be mistaken here, but in my memory, in Morrowind, you can't just fast travel places. You have to buy a ride on the giant tick things, or you have to walk there.
I forget if you, once you get there, if you can fast travel. I don't think you can, but like, yeah, the Silt Striders are how you have to get to certain places and stuff. But like, I think that obviously is not what I would recommend, but like at the same time, it forces you to explore places and like walk to places and get to know places. And I think part of it was just the fact that that was a game I played in my youth. So I had time to like memorize paths to certain locations and like certain things like that. But like, I don't know. I think overall the game is just way more fun for like Morrowind and Skyrim than Oblivion. Which is why if they ever would do like a remake like this for Morrowind, I will just shit my pants.
I think that would be something that would be beneficial for that game.
Yeah.
Because like, I mean, this is the same, I think you remake Morrowind, remaster Oblivion, because people don't have the same like affinity for Oblivion's jank and weirdness in Morrowind, you know, cause like, the game just wasn't as big of a hit, you know? So I think if you were to remake that game, I think it would really benefit from that sort of stuff. But you obviously remaster Oblivion. And as always, just in talking about this, we're still donating $10 to Heal Palestine for the BDS boycott with Microsoft Games. So we'll be doing that again this week. Justin, you want to talk about the news?
Let's do it.
All right. So last week, PlayStation said that they were likely going to be passing on the increased price of production and all of that from the U.S. tariffs to the consumers. But now Sony seems like is going to be offering discounts on PlayStation hardware this upcoming week with in select regions. Let me read you this, the beginning of this article by Andy Robinson from VGC titled, Sony tipped to announce PS5 Pro and PlayStation 5 discounts this week. PS5 Pro is reportedly set to receive its first official discount this week as a part of Sony's annual Days of Play event. That's according to gaming sleuth Billy Beal Kuhn, who regularly reveals PlayStation promotions before their official announcement. According to Billy Bill, Days of Play 2025 will kick off this Wednesday, May 28, and see the standard PS5 console slash by €100 in Europe. PS5 Pro is said to receive its first official discount, meanwhile, at €50 off. In addition, the PSVR 2 headset will reportedly receive a $50 discount. Damn, that's pretty big for a console no one's ever bought. And a selection of DualSense controllers will be available for €55. This is kind of interesting because they've been increasing their prices in some regions. Some of that was in Europe. Australia, New Zealand?
I thought it was in Europe, too. And it was Australia and New Zealand as well. Like those ones went in up, Europe. Too.
Yes. Yeah. They increased it by €50. So this is a little bit lower than that. Of course, this is like not like permanent. This is just a deal. So. But to be honest with you, if you haven't bought a PS5 and you want one, this is probably the low, and you are in this region, this is probably the lowest it's going to be for a while, if maybe ever, because I just think it feels like a matter of time for them to be increasing their prices.
Yeah, so like this, not only do you get the discount, but then you don't have to pay the extra money for whatever the price raises could potentially be in the future. It's kind of like Clair Obscur, right? When every like year, it's like you get older, and then the oldest people die. It's like there's 2 years every year before the end of the world. So, two discounts before the end of the world. Buy your PS5s.
I'll say, how much are... If the DualSense controllers are €55, I know that it's not like pound-for-pound dollar amount, but their prices and stuff generally line up a little bit, right? I'm saying is like €55, like $55, if that's what it was for a DualSense, I'd be like on that immediately.
Right now, this is at Walmart. You can buy a DualSense for $66.99.
Yeah, it's too much for me.
I mean it's still cheaper than normal because it retails for $74 on Walmart.
I see what you're saying. So they are five percent off.
Yeah, and you can get different colors too. You can get the purple one for $65.95 if you want. That's the cheapest one for some reason. It's like no one likes this purple DualSense. Is that this one you have? You're literally holding that.
Holding right now.
Oh, yeah. Are you sure it's not the blue one? I can't tell with the color.
This is the blue purple, or purple. This is the purple, the original purple. It looks bluer in this.
Okay. It's very purple. So you have the cheapest one right there. You can purchase another one. Galantic purple. That's a fun little Galantic.
Do you keep controllers by your desk? I have three right in front of me.
We did this before. We did. Yeah,
yeah,
I have a drawer here, so it's not quite fair, but my Xbox controller, which is normally here, is actually by my TV because I was playing Clair Obscur. Yeah.
Yeah, I just keep the Xbox controllers and all that. Although I haven't really been used. I'm trying to think of the last thing I tried to play Skull and Bones on this. That might have been it. That might have been the last thing.
Yeah. I wonder why. Yeah.
But yeah, so there you go. If you're in Europe, grab one of these. And also, like I said, unclear if the U.S. is going to be getting discounts here or what, but I think
Call of Duty bundle they were talking about that's going to get a discount in the U.S. It's like a Call of Duty 6. You get Call of Duty and the PlayStation both in the U.K. and in America for $50 off or
those
Euros
bundles
or whatever.
Tend to be, in my opinion, the best deals.
Yes, because you get the game and the bundle.
In my last week at TG, I did a piece about like the Xbox Series S and how you, for the price of the Xbox Series S under the new increased prices, you can buy a PlayStation 5 base model that has Astrobot bundled in with it, and it is cheaper.
That's insane.
That was for whatever sale it was on, but I was like, don't buy an Xbox Series S. Like buy a PlayStation 5, especially because you'll get that game, you know what I mean? And like then you'll play Fortnite with your friends and like there you go.
And let me tell you something,
Fortnite,
too.
By the way.
Oh, you have?
Yeah. All the weapons are Star Wars weapons right now, so there's no ammo in the game. It's kind of cool.
That's actually fun.
You were saying?
With the cloud gaming stuff, too, like, do you even need an Xbox anymore? I'm going to be honest with you. I've had very few interruptions with that on my shitty home Wi-Fi.
Cloud on your portal?
Phone.
You mean?
Yeah.
Oh,
on my phone. Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I am hard pressed to think of right now a reason to buy an Xbox other than Game Pass. But even then, I think it's pricey. You know what I mean? I think you could probably put together a solid used library of like physical copies of games for cheaper, if not the price of Game Pass, if you are like looking at games from, you know, 2018 and before. I mean, you can buy like all the Assassin's Creed games, or even like on sale on digital storefronts, you can buy all those Assassin's Creed games for like $1 each. Like, you know, it's pretty good.
I would be the little person here to say that I probably played Xbox significantly more than anything else this year. And that's mostly because of the Game Pass offerings and stuff like that, because like obviously Clair Obscur would be better for me to play my Portal. But the fact that it's part of the thing I already pay for,
although Senua's Saga was this year, wasn't it? Or
what
was that last year?
What?
Hellblade 2? Was that this year? No, that was last year.
That was last year.
Yeah.
But
what an interesting idea for a game.
Hellblade?
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm just thinking about it. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess schizophrenia.
I remember being annoyed with it because I didn't like the voices, but like I did like the combat and I liked the visuals in terms of like obviously it looks really good, but I mean like the art
direction. You didn't like living with schizophrenia.
No, not in the way it's portrayed in a video game. and if that's exactly how it is, then those people are fucking stronger than me. was that insensitive? No, I was giving him a compliment, right?
No,
if that's insensitive. I apologize. Like, I genuinely mean that.
I would not want that.
I am very blessed to not have to deal with that. So people who do, you're strong. You know what I'm trying to say. You know my heart. Let's talk about PlayStation Stars. Remember PlayStation Stars? I didn't. Yeah. I was about to be like, what was this? Go ahead.
The only time I knew about it was when they were emailing me about it not being there anymore.
Yes. So PlayStation Stars is PlayStation's like digital collectible thing where basically it's like you could get like a It was like a digital collector shelf for buying and playing games, and you would earn little tokens and things like that. And it is shutting down, I believe this week or next week. I think you could get also like discounts and stuff like that. It was like a loyalty program that they ran for like a year or two. I think this headline from the PlayStation blog sort of says it all. It says PlayStation Stars coming to a close as SIE evaluates new ways to evolve future loyalty program efforts. It was just a loyalty program that like is just being phased out for something new. So we will see sort of what comes of it. But Paul Tassi from Forbes quote tweeted the blog post and said, 100% sure this was originally meant to be an NFT thing, then pivoted to a loyalty thing, then it was too rewarding and it's being shut down. Because I think you could get like pretty solid discounts pretty often. I also think that this was probably an NFT thing, given the fact that it's like a digital like shelf, like trophy shelf kind of. That's the vibe it gives off, but obviously like NFTs have kind of like disappeared largely, you know. But
that makes me smile that thing, that shit didn't work. Next week I get rid of bitcoins, right, bros?
Dude, remember bros? When everyone was like, I don't think this is gonna work, and then it did,
and sure and then enough
it crashed and burned, and everyone, like all these companies were like, we don't understand why this happened. And it's like, because no one wants these,
it's stupid. We still don't understand what they are. We don't understand the point of it.
Nope. Yeah, so there you go. Rest in peace, PlayStation Stars. I was trying to think of like a Resident Evil joke for this, like
stars,
PlayStation Stars.
That's all we need. That's good. I thought that was pretty good.
The effort, like we get it. The effort was there. Housemarque Games, creators of Returnal, and what's their upcoming game?
Kronos or something like that. Krolos.
Yeah, it was something that, here's something, I don't think Returnal is like a great video game title, but what I do like about it is that one, it's really easy to remember, and two, it
Sorrows
kind of gets across exactly what that game is, like in a single instant. You're like, oh, Return, you know, Eternal Return, you know, what is it called?
Sorrows.
You see, that's a bad title. Sorry, Housemarque. I fucking love you.
Excuse me.
I'm so excited for your next thing. Yes?
Peter, it's an astronomy term, meaning a period of about 18 years between repetitions of solar and lunar eclipses.
That's so interesting and still makes it a bad title. do you ever like have that where like someone will like explain to you like, oh, no, you don't understand. This makes sense because of this. And I'm like, no, I get it. I didn't know that. That is actually quite interesting. And also, hence, you know, I'm sure that'll be interesting with the game and whatever. Like, people try and be like, no, it's good because of this. I'm like, no. It's not that I don't like Clair Obscur. It's a terrible title for a video game. Like, I get what it is. Like, I've looked up what that means. Doesn't mean it's good, though, you know?
Yeah. Claire, who, you know, knows how to speak French, came downstairs and was telling me what all the monsters' names meant and like what Clair Obscur meant. But
because it's like
it means light dark.
It means light dark.
Yeah.
Isn't it like fading light or something like that?
Well, I'm being literal.
Oh, I see. Okay. You spoke
beautifully with your like interpretation of the language and what it's trying to get across, but I'm speaking it with my gross American just explaining of it.
I love that they go like they curse in French. I think that's always cute. I think it's cute when a game is set in a different place and they like put some words in. It's like very like Assassin's Creed 2 of it, you know what I mean?
Looking Housemarque, French though. Swear word.
Merde is what they say in
Canard.
Let me just read you this headline here from Eurogamer by Victoria Phillips Kennedy. I believe one of their more senior news reporters there. Returnal studio Housemarque has no plans for live service title as long as people are buying premium games. Let me read you this a little bit here. Developer Housemarque, known for the likes of Returnal and Nex Machina, and what's this? Sorrows. Has no plans to go down the free-to-play or live service route anytime soon. Speaking to Eurogamer at the developer's 30th anniversary event in Finland last week, studio head Ilari Kuitinen and creative director Gregory Lauden said, as long as people are buying premium games, Housemarque will remain a studio which provides just that. Let me read you this quote here. Our philosophy is that our games are an experience for a certain time of your life, and you experience that within a few days or weeks or whatever. The studio had added that Housemarque's titles are a little bit like movies or TV series, which are there for a certain phase of a person's life. And I believe that's really cool. You don't need to spend the rest of your life with our games, rest of your free time with our games. I like that. I think that just speaks to like, it's nice to know that like, that is what is going on, there at a PlayStation studio, especially because PlayStation has been so live service heavy, sort of in recent years with the news. What do you think?
I find it weird they have to say something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
I do.
Not that it's like, it's good that they did say something, but the fact that we're in a situation, an environment where companies have to be like, we're not doing live service. We're not fucking with that. Like, I feel like that is just a sad state of like what the expectations are for games like this. And like, I could easily see a version of Returnal that had live service elements to it.
Oh, totally. With how much gear, you know, I mean? And like drops and stuff there are. Yeah.
So glad they said it. Hate they had to.
Yeah, 100%. Next little bit of news here. This is kind of like non-news, but it was like interesting. This is from MP First. We've read from them a few times. I don't know entirely what their credibility here is, just because I think they are still a little bit new. But this is from Kura Kasis. Report 2K prepping announcement for BioShock franchise. Let me read you this here. According to information we've obtained, 2K is preparing an announcement related to the BioShock franchise. While we don't know exactly when it will happen, some of the information suggests it will occur fairly soon, most likely before the end of the summer. This is me editorializing. I think Summer Game Fest, if this is going to be happening, that feels like a pretty solid stage for that, right? And like, that would make sense to me, either at their showcase or whatever. At this point, we don't know what the announcement will be about. It could reveal, could be the initial reveal of details about one of the projects announced several years ago, such as BioShock 4 or the upcoming Netflix movie. Some of the information we've come across also seems to suggest another possibility, a remake or a proper remaster of the original BioShock. BioShock 1, 2, and Infinite were remastered for PlayStation 4, though I know people had some issues with the remastering. I'm not entirely sure what those problems were. I just remember that it happened. I personally don't think I need a remake of BioShock. I think that game, it's not that it's aged incredibly, but I think playing it with in the remastered version, I'm like, I think you get what the game is going for. That I don't think a remake or like another remaster of it would really add a lot to. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think you're making a face. What do you think?
Well, I think the bigger question is which of these games truly do need a remake or a remaster. And I think like it's not even a BioShock thing. I think this is like, can you think of a game that you need to have a remaster for in your life?
Not really.
You know what I mean? Like, I think one of the reasons why I can see it being beneficial is that people will play it again. We'll talk a little bit about Oblivion and the fact that this remaster of Oblivion is making it a game people are playing again at significant numbers. But part of that's Oblivion, which is a Bethesda game, one of their more popular series, to say the least, and everything.
Yeah.
So like, BioShock itself is a classic game that I think could get the bump of people buying it again if they were to remaster it or come up with like a remake of sorts. But like, does it need to happen? Do I need to play this game again? I don't think so.
No, it's one of those games too. Actually, Elena and I were talking about BioShock the other day because, ooh. Oh fuck, I saw, I love seeing bad tattoos online. And now here's the thing. I'm not like, I have had some bad tattoos, not like terrible, like horrible tattoos, but like, some of them you look back at 2 years later and you're like, oh, maybe not. But I love seeing regrettable tattoos, 'cause there's something about it that I'm like fascinated by. Some guy got, on the back of his wrist, it said, a man chooses, and then on the inside of his wrist, a slave obeys. And then the other side says, would you kindly? And it's all like BioShocky. And it's just like, bro, do not get the phrase a slave obeys tattooed on your wrist, on the inside of your wrist. Don't do that.
Now, did it look nice? Was it like, like a poke and stick?
No, and poke? It was just not a great tattoo. And like, the placement was bad and all this sort of stuff. And also, like, the phrase, it should, if you're going to do that, if you're going to do, you know, a man chooses, slave obeys, do them on both of the inside of your wrist so that you can, like, read the full thing. Yeah. And so, like, there's, like, full context to it. But the fact that it was a man chooses on the back of the wrist, a slave obeys on the inside of the wrist, ooh, it was bad. It was
can
bad.
You imagine if there was, like, a hand on just your front door and it says, oh, man, it's like, a separate hand, a slave obeys?
But that's what I'm saying. Like, dude, do not get the word slave tattooed on you. Holy shit. But what I'm getting at here is Elaine and I were talking about how, like, that game is so interesting because, like, it's good. It is good. And what it does with in a narrative sense, I think it's really interesting. But it's, like, because it's so old, like, it was the first to do something like that, which makes it iconic. And it is good. But, like, it kind of does come across now, you know, what, more than almost 20 years later, as, like, kind of like baby's first, like, meta narrative a little bit, you know what I mean? That's, I'm not trying to say that it's bad or anything like that, but, like, so, like, it just comes across a little, like, it's a little dated, you know what I mean, in terms of it, the way it portrays its message and stuff like that. Do you agree with me? Do you know what I'm saying?
It's just not as complex as games have gotten.
Correct. And pretending like it is, like, some, like, super mega, really super deep thing.
Yeah.
Is a little like, I'm 14 and this is deep. And it's not to say it's bad, but yeah.
I do have to say, one of the things that, like, I think that game is actually benefited by is, like, its style, even though it's an old game, it doesn't, like, appear as old as it is because the game does have this, like, cool style to it that makes it look modernish
today. You are so right about, like, good art design doesn't age.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, fidelity of this, that, whatever it does, sure. But, like, you're so right about, like, it has such a unique visual style that means that it holds up pretty well. It's like Wind Waker, right? This game from, what, 2008, yeah. 9? And, like, that game looks amazing still, even if you're not playing the remastered one. The remastered one, of course, looks so super crisp and all that, but, like, the original game looks so good because it, like, just has that style. But I would be interested to see what a BioShock 4 would be. If there's a BioShock Netflix movie, I won't watch it. The only reason
I'd say to, like, maybe it'll be good because the Fallout TV series is excellent.
Sure. And that is coming. That has a second season is coming out, like, in, like later this year, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think in December, like, later in the year, I thought, but maybe
yeah,
not.
Yeah.
But, like, that's, like, one of those things, like, I'm never going to say no to it because it might be good. I don't have to watch all of it, but, like, it might be good. And I would argue that that's one of the best video game TV shows you can watch.
Fallout?
Yeah, easily.
I bet I would like it more than The Last of Us. but I think that is also doing something different than The Last of Us, which is what I probably appreciate a little bit more about it. I do agree with you about BioShock, though, where, like, I would be interested to read what people say about it, and then I would decide, like, I'm not just going to sit down and watch it, but if someone was like, you should watch it, it does something kind of interesting with.
Like, surprisingly this. Good.
Yeah, 100%. I'm like, oh, cool. Then, you know, I'll give that a shot. But Justin, let's take one last little thing here. Take a look at Matt Piscatella from Circana. This is a games analyst website here. Taking a look at the best-selling games from April 2025. Some of these are pretty interesting. And from, you know, obviously up through April, for the entire year. Let me just read you the April list 10 to 1. How's that sound?
Sure.
All right. Number 10, PGA Tour 2K25. Number 9, NBA 2K25. Number 8, WWE 2K25. All these things are, like, you know, the usual suspects here. Number 7, Call of Duty Black Ops 6. Number 6, Indiana Jones and the Great Circle. Makes a lot of sense given its launch on PlayStation and all that. Number 5, Assassin's Creed Shadows. Number 4, Minecraft. Number 3, MLB The Show 25. Number 2, Forza Horizon 5, because it came out on the PlayStation 5. And number 1, The Elder Scrolls 4 Oblivion Remastered. Justin, what do you think of these numbers? I think these are actually kind of fascinating.
Well, I think this makes sense why Microsoft would go multi-platform with this stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, like obviously, like, they're, like, I would say, dominating is a light word here, but, like, the fact that a game like Indiana Jones even has this sudden bump from being 118th last month to 6 because it was released on a new platform, that justifies this decision enough. And, like, I understand people and they're, like, console wars and stuff like that, maybe I'm privileged enough to be in a position where I play it wherever is the most convenient to me. But like, I don't think this hurts the industry at all. If anything, this is great for the industry because people are putting money into these things. And like, maybe this means that Game Pass won't go up another $15. It will.
I mean, it certainly will. But what I appreciate, though, about this for someone like Microsoft is like, this is just a great reason to say, yeah, we should publish these on other platforms, especially because I don't know how Indiana Jones and the Great Circle sold. Apparently it sold well enough for Disney to want a sequel or to want at least another Indiana Jones game out of Machine Games. But let's think about this. These are all sales. On Xbox, you know, it had to have a mixed performance between sales and Game Pass downloads, right? I have no idea how they distinguish those. Whereas this is, if it's on PlayStation, these are just fully just like someone bought this video game, you know, which I think is a good thing. Yeah. So yeah, there you go. And I think also what's cool about this is like all of the best-selling games for the most part are like anything that's new is like a single-player experience. You know what I mean? So, you know, Oblivion and then Forza. There are some multiplayer elements in some of these, but you know what I mean? Assassin's Creed, Indiana Jones, like that's kind of cool, you know? And then even looking at the rest of the year, again, some of the usual suspects, number 10, PGA Tour, 2K25, number 9, NBA 2K25, number 8, Civ 7, which I think is kind of surprising to me. I know it's popular, but like, sure. Yeah. Like it makes sense that I'm like, oh yeah, actually a lot of people fuck with this. Number 7, WWE 2K25, number 6, Kingdom Come Deliverance 2. That is a game that actually surprises me to be on here because I wouldn't have expected that at the beginning of the year. But after seeing how well it reviewed, it makes sense that people are coming out for it. Number 5, Call of Duty Black Ops 6. Number 4, MLB The Show 25. Number 3, Oblivion Remastered. Number 2, Assassin's Creed Shadows. Number 1, Monster Hunter Wilds. There you go.
Please correct me if I'm wrong in saying this. None of those games are like on one platform. Are exclusives. They're all multi-platform games, which
that
I find to be
correct.
Quite interesting. And in fact, the first game on this list that is not is Marvel's Spider-Man 2, which is the 18th best-selling game of the year. That's the first not solely on one location. But I guess you can count PC for that if you're really being like nitpicky. But
that is the reason why it's on there, because it just came out on PC.
So I feel like that's like an interesting note to make about this list. And even on the game sales for last month, the first game that is an exclusive is The Last of Us Part 2. And that's number 13th. Obviously, the bump of that was because of the TV series.
Yeah. I'll say this. Mario Kart World is, I think, going to be number 1 this year, probably, right?
Hard to say. I don't think so, because there's probably not as many Switch 2s out there. And I'm sure like it will get like a significant amount throughout the year. But like when you have the games like your Forevers, like your Call of Duties and stuff like that, it's going to be hard to knock those off the top. But even then, like Call of Duty Black Ops 6, because is there a Call of Duty coming out this year? Am I stupid? Is there not?
I mean, I think there usually is, but I don't know if we know anything about it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
If not, likely, but like, it really depends what the install base is. I mean, I think the thing about all these, as we were saying, is the fact that these are all multi-platform games, so they're going to have a leg up on a new system. Even if it is Nintendo, I think the attach rate's going to be fantastic, but are there enough consoles out there to make that attach rate something that is better than Monster Hunter Wilds?
I don't know. Maybe.
Which I think that's what it comes down to. If there is in fact a ton out there, then yes. But if not, then I don't know. I think it's going to scale more so with how many we can buy.
Yeah. No, I think that actually makes a lot of sense. In the same way that like a lot of those PS5 launch titles never were like, you know, these huge sellers just because like people just couldn't get them, you know.
Yeah.
Among other reasons. So there you go. A little bit of a shorter one today because we're going to talk a lot about The Last of Us Season 2 in just a minute here. I think that's going to wrap it up for us in the main show. We'll catch you over in The Last of Us spoiler cast. But also, if you don't care about The Last of Us TV show, it's over. So it's next week will be normal.
Be in that camp.
I'm relieved. A weight has been lifted from my chest as soon as the credits were rolling. you texted me about this and I was not shocked. I don't know, man. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it. If you're interested in that, that'll also be in the main feed as it's been. And then next week we'll be back to our regularly scheduled. We've been doing like normally. It doesn't matter. All right. We will catch you there. If not, we'll catch you next week. Thanks for chilling with us. You can support us by joining our Discord server. You can rate this episode in your podcast player of choice. Follow us on Blue Sky at Hitbox Pod, or become a patron like Jane Hill, GKS, and Josh Durham. Those additional bonus episodes. Last of Us Heavy Week, because we're going to talk more about that in the bonus show. But from a different angle, I think. That is going to do it. We will catch you next week. Always remember, old games are old. Bye.
Bye.
I'll stop recording.